today you're tuned to Truth News Radio on the 13th of September 2014. Great to be with you today. My name's Hereward Fenton. In today's show, we're going to be looking at a number of breaking issues in the world. I'm going to be giving you my analysis of some of the things that are going on. I'll be playing to you a few video clips that I've pulled on topics that I think are important. I want to emphasize today the issue of the total manipulation of the news, the complete betrayal of the general public's confidence, and the way in which people in Western countries around the world, Australia, Europe, United States, Canada, all English-speaking countries, are treated like children, both by their governments and by the media, which in many cases the citizens are actually paying for. For example, in Australia, we have a taxpayer-funded news source, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. In the UK, there is the BBC, again, taxpayer-funded, and in fact, people in the UK actually have to pay to even watch television. They actually have television licenses that people have to pay for over there. Of course, in many other cases, it's purely commercial, and broadcasters are there to make you consume through advertising. But the whole system is really just one that is it is lost all semblance of credibility. And what's the appropriate thing to do? I really can only suggest that you just do not watch television, or if you do, just constantly remind yourself that you are being lied to. And doesn't matter what you're watching, whether it's sport, whether it's news, whether it's a Hollywood movie, you are being propagandized. You are constantly being propagandized, and they're increasingly sort of frantic with the propagandization, because there is more and more of a need to clamp down on people's thinking, because people are breaking out of the mold. And I want to give you some examples of how that is happening in today's show. And I want to actually read to you an article written by John Pilger. And this is a recent article that came out on his website. And it's on the Israel-Gaza situation, which I know we've covered a lot on the show, but we're going to continue because it's, as John Pilger has said, it is the great moral crisis of our age. So I'm going to read to you from John Pilger. I'm after that going to play to you a clip of Professor Noam Chomsky talking to you about the bewildered herd, and a very, very interesting little interview that he gave there. I'm not quite sure how long ago. Then I'll be playing to you another clip, which is a debunking research piece on Israel's Iron Dome. Again, I know this is a topic I've talked about before on the show, but I just can't stress the importance of this. And it's very important by way of explaining to those who don't seem to understand the propaganda that we're faced. It's very important to illustrate, when you've got good examples, of how extensive and how ridiculous the propagandizing has become, how embedded it is and interwoven with our whole way of life. So the piece I'm going to play to you is just a very detailed research piece on the Iron Dome defense system in Israel, proving that it's completely fake. You know, not only are the Gaza rockets fake, you know, they're just hollow metal tubes with no explosives. The supposed system which protects people in Israel is fake as well. So the general public, the bewildered herd, we're living within this narrative created to simply shape your opinion, to motivate you, to move you in different directions. And you know, sometimes talking about these subjects, I feel like I'm a little bit extreme. I feel like I'm, you know, out on the edge. I'm out on a limb. But, you know, every now and then I get confirmation that I'm dead on track. And this article here from John Pilger, who's been on Truth News Radio, I'm proud to say, this article by John Pilger demonstrates to me, proves to me, that that everything that I've been saying on this show is right on target. So here we go. Breaking the last taboo, Gaza and the threat of world war. There is a taboo, said the visionary Edward Said, on telling the truth about Palestine and the great destructive force behind Israel. Only when this truth is out can any of us be free. For many people, the truth is out now. At last, they know. Those once intimidated into silence can't look away now. Staring at them from their TV, laptop and phone is proof of the barbarism of the Israeli state and the great destructive force of its mentor and provider, the United States, the cowardice of European governance, and the collusion of others, such as Canada and Australia, in this epic crime. The attack on Gaza was an attack on all of us. The siege of Gaza is a siege of all of us. The denial of justice to Palestinians is a symptom of much of humanity under siege and a warning that the threat of a new world war is growing by the day. When Nelson Mandela called the struggle of Palestine the greatest moral issue of our time, he spoke on behalf of true civilization, not that which empires invent. In Latin America, the governments of Brazil, Chile, Venezuela, Bolivia, El Salvador, Peru, and Ecuador have made their stand on Gaza. Each of these countries has known its own dark silence when immunity for mass murder was sponsored by the same godfather in Washington that answered the cries of children in Gaza with more ammunition to kill them. Unlike Netanyahu and his killers, Washington's pet fascists in Latin America didn't concern themselves with moral window dressing. They simply murdered and left the bodies on rubbish dumps. For Zionism, the goal is the same, to dispossess and ultimately destroy an entire human society. A truth that 225 Holocaust survivors and their descendants have compared with the genesis of genocide. Nothing has changed since the Zionists' infamous Plan D in 1948 that ethnically cleansed an entire people. Recently, on the website of the Times of Israel were the words, "Genocide is permissible." A deputy speaker of the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, Moshe Feiglin, demands a policy of mass expulsion into concentration camps. An MP, Ayelet Shaked, whose party is a member of the governing coalition, calls for the extermination of Palestinian mothers to prevent them giving birth to what she calls little snakes. For years, and I just want to emphasize now that the following paragraphs are key to understanding what is going on, and I suggest you make a copy of this article and give it to people who don't understand, people who have accepted the mainstream narrative, because it's sometimes very, very hard to get through, and you need someone of Pilger's incisiveness and intelligence, perhaps, to cut through their defensive wall. So just continuing from the article. For years, reporters have watched Israeli soldiers bait Palestinian children by abusing them through loudspeakers. They then shoot them dead. For years, reporters have known about Palestinian women about to give birth and refused passage through a roadblock to a hospital, and the baby has died, and sometimes the mother. For years, reporters have known about Palestinian doctors and ambulance crews given permission by Israeli commanders to attend the wounded or remove the dead, only to be shot through the head. For years, reporters have known about the stricken people prevented from getting life-saving treatment or shot dead when they've tried to reach a clinic for chemotherapy treatment. One elderly lady with a walking stick was murdered in this way, a bullet in her back. When I put the facts of this crime to Dori Grold, a senior advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister, he said, "Unfortunately, in every kind of warfare, there are cases of civilians who are accidentally killed. But the case you cite was not terrorism. Terrorism means putting the crosshairs of the sniper's rifle on a civilian deliberately." I replied, "That's exactly what happened." "No," he said, "it did not happen." Such a lie or delusion is repeated unerringly by Israel's apologists. As the former New York Times reporter Chris Hedges points out, the reporting of such an atrocity invariably ends up as caught in the crossfire. For as long as I have covered the Middle East, much if not most of the Western media has colluded in this way. In one of my films, a Palestinian cameraman, Imad Ghanem, lies helpless while soldiers from the most moral army in the world blow both his legs off. This atrocity was given two lines on the BBC website. 13 journalists were killed by Israel in its latest bloodfest in Gaza. All were Palestinian. Who knows their names? Something is different now. There is a huge revulsion across the world, and the voices of sensible liberalism are worried. Their hand-wringing and specious choir of equal blame and Israel's right to defend itself will not wash anymore. Neither will the smear of anti-Semitism. Neither will their selective cry that something must be done about Islamic fanatics, but nothing must be done about Zionist fanatics. One sensible liberal voice, the novelist Ian McEwan, was being celebrated as a sage by The Guardian while the children of Gaza were blown to bits. This is the same Ian McEwan who ignored the pleading of Palestinians not to accept the Jerusalem Prize for Literature. "If I only went to countries that I approve of, I probably never would get out of bed," said McEwan. If they could speak, the dead of Gaza might say, "Stay in bed, great novelist, for your very presence smooths the bed of racism, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and murder, no matter the weasel words you uttered as you claimed your prize." You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and I will be back after this break, reading a very, very powerful article here by John Pilger. Do stay with us. We've got more important news coming your way. May I have your attention? This is Harewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. And I'm reading to you here an article by John Pilger that was published on the 11th of September, a very powerful date, and it is focused on Gaza and Israel and the media. More importantly, on the media. So just continuing here from where I left off. Understanding the sophistry and power of liberal propaganda is key to understanding why Israel's outrages endure, while the world looks on, why sanctions are never applied to Israel, and why nothing less than a total boycott of everything Israeli is now a measure of basic human decency. The most incessant propaganda says Hamas is committed to the destruction of Israel. Khaled Hrub, the Cambridge University scholar, considered a world-leading authority on Hamas, says this phrase is never used or adopted by Hamas, even in its most radical statements. The oft-quoted anti-Jewish 1988 Charter was the work of one individual and made public without appropriate Hamas consensus. The author was one of the old guard. The document is regarded as an embarrassment and never cited. Hamas has repeatedly offered a 10-year truce with Israel and has long settled for a two-state solution. When Medea Benjamin, the fearless Jewish-American activist, was in Gaza, she carried a letter from Hamas leaders to President Obama that made clear the government of Gaza wanted peace with Israel. It was ignored. I personally know of many such letters carried in good faith, ignored or dismissed. The unforgivable crime of Hamas is a distinction almost never reported. It is the only Arab government to have been freely and democratically elected by its people. Worse, it has now formed a government of unity with a Palestinian authority. A single, resolute Palestinian voice in the General Assembly, the Human Rights Council, and the International Criminal Court is the most feared threat. Since 2002, a pioneering media unit at Glasgow University has produced a remarkable series of studies of reporting and propaganda in Israel and Palestine. Professor Greg Filo and his colleagues were shocked to find a public ignorance compounded by TV news reporting. The more people watched, the less they knew. Greg Filo says the problem is not bias as such. Reporters and producers are as moved as anyone by the suffering of Palestinians. But so imposing is the power structure of the media as an extension of the state and its vested interests that the critical facts and historical context are routinely suppressed. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave that at this point. I will put that article up on the website so you can read the whole thing. I want to now give you an interview with Noam Chomsky that follows from those thoughts. And again, it is this this whole concept of how the media operates. And it's very interesting to hear Noam Chomsky talking about it. There's been many different people who've explored this, and we've covered a lot of different angles on this on the show. And, of course, Noam Chomsky is a man who I've got a lot of criticisms of. And certainly, I think in some ways, Chomsky himself has participated in this, what he called the manufacturing of consent. In some ways, he has actually contributed to it in his refusal to look at certain conspiracy theories with an objective mind. But that's for another topic, another day. I would like to simply play to you right now a clip from Noam Chomsky talking about the media and the way in which the so-called bewildered herd is manipulated. Here we go.
Walter Lippmann was the leading public intellectual of the 20th century, very prestigious, and a progressive, you know. So he was a Wilson, Roosevelt, Kennedy liberal, you know, on the progressive side, and very much hailed in the liberal intellectual circles, a great figure. But he did have essays on democracy, which he hated. He hated and feared democracy, as elites do generally. This is not the way he's depicted, but it's very transparent in his essay. Alex quotes a lot of it. One of the things he said is what you just quoted, that the policy making has to be limited to the responsible men. He's, of course, one of them. Everyone who propounds these theories is one of the responsible men. So we responsible men, small group of people who have special insight and understanding, we have to be able to make decisions, and we have to be free of the and trampling and the roar of the bewildered herd. Bewildered herd is the population. So the general population, he goes on to say, have to be spectators, not participants. In his words, they have to be put in their place. They are the population he called ignorant and meddlesome outsiders. They have nothing to do with decision making. So you got to keep them out there somewhere. And when he was writing, this is 1920, this is really the days of the origins of the huge propaganda system. It's not called propaganda in the United States. It's called the public relations system or advertising or some word like that. But it's a straight propaganda system, and that's understood by others. So, for example, Goebbels, who ran the Nazi propaganda system, was very frank about it. He said, we're taking over the techniques of American commercial advertising, their propaganda system. And they did, and they did it pretty well. Actually, the Bolsheviks tried to take it over too, but they were very clumsy about it, so it ended up being a rotten propaganda system. But the Nazis were very efficient, did it well. And it was American commercial advertising. And the idea is to see if you can, as the business press put it at the time, we have to somehow direct people to the superficial things of life, like fashionable consumption. And if you can do that, the responsible men, us, will be protected from the ignorant, meddlesome outsiders. They'll be out there, buying commodities, going into debt, and so on and so forth. This is almost instinctive. It's done in a sophisticated way here, but it's done in many systems. So, for example, pick a different case. When the British ended slavery, they had slave colonies in the West Indies, Jamaica, and places like that. And there was a problem. It was discussed in the British Parliament. What are we going to do in the plantations when these slaves are free? There's a lot of land around, and they'll go off into the hills. They'll get themselves a plot of land and live happily ever after. There won't be slaves in the plantation. They hit on the same idea. They said what we have to do is get them trapped into a debt consumption system. If we can convince them with corporate, plantation propaganda in those days, not corporate propaganda, to feel that they have to have these commodities, which they'll get at the company store and go into debt, and pretty soon they're trapped. The United Fruit Company, 50 years later, hit on exactly the same policies in the Caribbean. There were freed slaves coming over from the Caribbean islands to the Atlantic coast of Costa Rica, where the banana plantations were, and so on. And the idea is, how can we enslave these people? They'll just go off into the land. There's plenty of land, and they'll be fine. And same idea. We gotta instruct them, make them believe that it's necessary to have silk stockings and Stetson hats. This is in the quasi-tropics. Women have to have silk stockings. Men have to have Stetson hats. Get them at the company store. You're finished. These methods, and it's just turned into a sophisticated system by the major propaganda, the PR system here. And it's quite striking that the huge growth of public relations propaganda was in the freest, most democratic societies. It was in England and the United States. It was picked up by others later, like, say, the Nazis or the Bolsheviks, but basically invented here. And there's a reason for it. You go back to roughly the time of the First World War. The British Conservative Party, growing corporate sector here and so on.
We're just going to break. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and that was the voice of Noam Chomsky there. A very important interview he did on the control of the media. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I've been playing to you a clip of Noam Chomsky talking about the control of society, the fake democracy that we live in, and the manipulation of people's minds through propaganda masquerading as news. And I will just continue now where we left off from that interview.
They recognized that people had won enough rights so that it was hard to control them by force. There were parliamentary labor parties, there were unions, women were soon going to get the franchise. It was just hard to control people. So if you can't control them by force, as you could in the past, you have to control them some other way. Otherwise, you'll get this evil demon of democracy growing, which is a threat to privilege. So how do we control them if you can't control them by force? By controlling attitudes and beliefs. It's almost automatic. So then you put your resources into propaganda systems. Now, in fact, in the 1920s, it was actually called propaganda. So Edward Bernays, the sort of guru of the public relations industry, his main book on it was called Propaganda. It was frank. By the 1930s, the term propaganda had begun to get sort of bad connotations, you know, the Nazis and so on. So the term propaganda was dropped. You don't call it propaganda anymore. But now you call it a free press or something like that. And that's the same thing. And if you read Bernays' book, also in the 1920s, it's the same as Lippmann. Almost the same words. You know? An intelligent minority must make the decisions. And the rest of the population has to be diverted somehow so they don't interfere for their own good, of course. You could turn to President Obama's favorite philosopher, Reinhold Niebuhr, another respected liberal commentator, highly respected. His view around the same time was that people are kind of stupid and will harm themselves, and like a three-year-old running out into the street, can't let it do that, so you hold it back. And therefore, what we have to do is feed people necessary illusions and emotionally potent oversimplifications. That's practically a definition of the corporate media. You know, don't even have to give examples, just open the front page. Necessary illusions, emotionally potent oversimplifications, divert them to the superficial things of life, frighten them, that's another thing. You have to, fear is a very effective technique of control. People huddle under power, and these measures are used over and over again. Whether it's British plantations in the early 19th century or the front pages today, the last election, for example. It's a kind of instinctive and natural and understandable.
Okay, I've given you two examples there in today's show of very luminary intellectuals, very, very important figures in the fields of media, John Pilger and Noam Chomsky, telling you that you're living in a giant constructed fantasy realm. You are being given a false narrative deliberately, consciously, because the powers that be don't want you to be a real participant in a real democracy, but they want you to have the illusion that you are. So they shape information to make you feel things. But a lot of the time what they do is they simply distract you. And that's what this whole construct of advertising is all about. And the whole consumer society is largely there to constantly distract you, to make you obsessed with things that are totally irrelevant. And that includes sport, by the way. So that you don't actually ever even have enough energy to get involved in running the country. You're just constantly distracted. Like a child. Now, Professor Chomsky is very good on the theoretical side of this, and he can explain it very well. But what about the actual lies? What about the deliberate constructed lies, the individual lies that are being told? How far does it go? Well, as we've shown on this show, it goes a very, very long way indeed. Events like September 11, 2001, are a completely created false narrative. Now, at that point, even people like Noam Chomsky back off. They won't accept that. It's like they'll give you all the theory and they'll explain to you perfectly well why that should be and could be the case, but when it comes to an actual example of it, such as September 11 or the assassination of Kennedy, Noam Chomsky dare not go there. And I say he dare not because I think that he knows that if he were to tread down the path of actually shining the bright light of his intellect on one of those events to show you what a complete tapestry of lies we've been told, that he would be put out of operation. Yeah, he might not be assassinated. They don't need to do that. You know, they don't need to actually go and kill you. They can just destroy your life. Look what they did to Julian Assange. I mean, he's still locked up in a little room there in London, you know. I mean, this can happen to anyone. People can be brought down in ways that are quite sophisticated. Sex scandals, you know, that's the favourite technique. But anyway, I want to actually now turn to a case of a very big lie. And I have talked about this on the show before, but we're going to go back into it again. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about the Gaza rockets, but we're going to talk about the Iron Dome defence system, which it turns out is another one of these wonderful little fairy tales that's crafted to make the citizens feel certain things. They're told that there are these terrible boogeymen, Hamas, firing these nasty, evil rockets, right? Oh, it's so terrible, we're going to have to bomb them. You know, we have to invade, we have to do anything to defend ourselves. But at the same time, you're safe because we've created this wonderful thing called the Iron Dome, which means that those evil rockets can't get to you. You see, we protect you. And so on the one hand, they feel protected by the government. And on the other hand, they still feel scared enough of the Gaza rockets to support the ethnic cleansing that's taking place. All deliberate creative narrative. So let's now turn to look at the Iron Dome system. And I have a clip here that I've downloaded from YouTube. And I don't actually have a clear idea of what the source of it is. It's a radio show, and I will certainly give you the link to it. But it's quite long. I may not be able to play the whole thing, but he certainly gets into a lot of detail about it, and I found it very, very eye-opening. So here we go.
So I did a video previously. It was on whether the Hamas missiles are actually contain warheads, because it doesn't look like they do. It looks like they're glorified fireworks, essentially big smoke bombs, if anything, and they don't have explosive warheads in them. And then, taking it one step further, the more I looked into the phony Hamas rockets Hamas is a group controlled by Israel, was created by Israel, the more I found out that the whole Iron Dome defense system, in fact, is basically just rockets that shoot up in the air and then explode. They don't actually hit any, they don't intercept anything. And it sounds kind of crazy at first, but the more you look into it, actually, there's a lot of proof out there that Iron Dome itself is, in fact, a hoax. So why would they do that? Why would they fake intercepting Hamas rockets? Well, A, the Hamas rockets themselves don't exist to such a great extent, we were told. And B, it instills a sense of security, sense of pride, and also the most important C, is the Israeli people feel they're under constant attack, but their government is able to help save them. But it's important to feel like you're under constant attack, otherwise you're not going to just go and genocide a whole bunch of Palestinians. So what proof is there that the Hamas rockets are fake? Well, the lack of proof is actually proof, because if they claim that there's so many hundreds of missiles being fired, there should be some images of buildings that got blown up.
We're just going to break. You with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm playing to you a clip from an exploration, a research piece on Israel's Iron Dome, which is exposing a lot of the lies and propaganda there. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. Well, in today's show, I've been kind of running through examples of leading intellectuals like John Pilger and Noam Chomsky explaining to you that the media is a construct that is there to subvert democracy. That's its main purpose. It's really quite a shocking realization, and it's something that everyone needs to know about. You know, you need to stick your head out the window and shout this at everyone in the street walking past. You need to put this on placards and march around the street with it, because it's incredibly important. And it's something that almost is never talked about publicly. I mean, I've never even seen a protest about it. I don't know why. We have protests about all kinds of things. It's like, this is so all-encompassing that even the people who know about it feel kind of frozen. And even the people who know about it, like Chomsky, won't go out on a limb and ever point out when the media is directly lying to us. They won't do it. Either the propaganda is so powerful that they're simply afraid, or maybe more direct reasons. Maybe they have actually been threatened. I don't know. But more people should be coming forward and pointing out that the Israel Iron Dome is completely false, and that the Hamas rockets are completely false as well. Both of those are false constructs. The Hamas rockets are simply metal tubes with no explosives. They're about as dangerous as throwing a rock. You know, you can kill someone by throwing a rock. And, you know, I admit a couple of people have died as a result of the Hamas rockets, right? But, you know, if there were thousands of rocks being thrown as well, people would die from that too, statistically. That's all I'm saying. But there is no effort being put into exposing this. So today I'm devoting the show to that topic. There won't be a second hour of the show today. I will be playing a repeat of one of our recent interviews for our live listeners. But this focus today, I believe, is very important. So stay with us. And I'll continue now with the expose of Israel's Iron Dome.
Should be images of missiles that are exploding and causing actual damage. The videos we see, if you do a search, it looks like a smoke bomb. And this gas station video is a good example. This is one of the few proof of Hamas missiles we actually see. And notice how it creates an enormous smoke bomb, and there isn't any damage to the asphalt. That is a pretty shitty bomb. That's not even a real rocket. That's just a big smoke bomb. But then you look further, and the Iron Dome system, what it does, it doesn't actually... You never see the Hamas missiles. You never see the Hamas rockets. You only see the Iron Dome rockets going out and exploding. And the more I looked into it, the more even Israelis are pointing out that the Iron Dome system is in fact a big hoax. It doesn't work like we were told it does. In fact, it doesn't actually do much of anything. All it does is send up rockets that explode in the air and don't actually intercept anything. So, at first, yeah, it sounds like bullshit, but check it out.
It is an Israeli-designed, American-funded breakthrough in military technology. All just possibly a kind of optical illusion. Iron Dome is a missile defense system credited by Israel with destroying nearly 90% of the rockets fired at it during the last conflict with Palestinian militants in Gaza.
One, two,
not everyone's convinced. Because the incoming rockets are invisible to the naked eye, a handful of skeptics say that what we're witnessing may simply be the Iron Dome missiles themselves self-destructing without hitting anything.
I don't know exactly what happened, but I raise the question marks, and I would like to have an answer. I asked the IDF, show me your videos, your infrared videos, in which you can see almost everything. But they said it's classical.
These Iron Dome missiles, filmed by a wedding photographer, were aimed at rockets fired from Gaza. Israelis believe Iron Dome can protect them from other enemies too. In uncertain times across the Middle East, they hope that seeing is believing. Kevin Connolly, BBC News, Jerusalem.
So this news clip ends with a whole bunch of rockets flying into the air, Iron Dome rockets, and you can see their trails. You see the trails of the Iron Dome rockets, and they all explode kind of like fireworks, but you don't see any actual trails from the alleged Hamas rockets that they're intercepting. That's kind of funny, isn't it? And it's funny how almost every single one of these Iron Dome rockets blows up, supposedly intercepting a Hamas rocket. The whole thing is just, you got to start wondering, are they just launching basically fireworks? Is Iron Dome basically a fireworks system that goes up there and makes a loud explosion, and the Israelis feel like they intercepted a Hamas rocket?
To intercept them in the middle of the way, in the air, in order to protect the people. What I can say is it's, first of all, not a 100% solution.
This man claims that a rocket just hit the building. However, it's interesting that the news agency there doesn't zoom in on any sort of damage to the building. And all we see is some water on the ground, and maybe the grass looks disturbed. Even that's hard to tell. But why aren't they showing any actual damage, if damage actually occurred from this Hamas rocket?
Okay, at this point in the video, it cuts to a lot of scenes with people speaking in Hebrew, and I won't play that to you. It's probably better if you watch the video version of that, because there are subtitles that go with it. I'm going to just jump forward now to a further point in the video.
So again, we see the trail of the Iron Dome rocket, and we hear a loud explosion, yet we never see any trail from the alleged Hamas rocket. Funny how that happens in every single video, isn't it? And I'm going to finish this one off with, of course, a challenge to you to prove to me, to show me any footage of an Iron Dome rocket hitting a Hamas rocket. And it should be easy enough to prove that two rockets are hitting each other. You're seeing one rocket, but you're not seeing the other rocket. How's that work? Okay, here's an interesting article from an Israeli who's not a complete sellout genocide artist like a lot of them are. Israeli expert says Iron Dome defense is a hoax. An Israeli scientist and award-winning security expert has called the Iron Dome missiles defense system the biggest hoax the world has ever seen. I guess he hasn't heard of 9/11, but... According to Dr. Mati Sheffer, today there is no missile which can intercept other missiles or rocket-propelled grenades, and the Iron Dome is a light audio system which blocks Israeli public opinion, and of course itself. In fact, all the explosions that we have seen in the atmosphere are self-destruction, just like what I've been saying here. The Iron Dome did not launch any rocket that could intercept at least one missile fired from Gaza. Of course, we know the truth about these alleged missiles fired from Gaza. They're basically emptied out metal hollow tubes. Sheffer added the concept of open areas is a myth created to amplify the Iron Dome's ability as a missile interceptor. He made an indirect accusation against the Dome's operating staff of misleading the public. The missiles which were intercepted by the Iron Dome and did not reach the ground are hypothetical missiles produced and destroyed in the Dome's computer control room. As of this moment, nobody has seen an intercepted missile fall to the ground. Totally believe it. If it happened, there'd be tons of video proof. the news would be all over it, but there hasn't been any proof. There's nothing. The scientist made his comments after challenge, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so anyway, it's a very interesting article. That's by the Middle East Monitor, and I believe every single word there because I haven't seen any proof at all that these Iron Dome rockets are intercepting anything. And especially during nighttime, you would expect to see a trail. It takes some sort of propulsion system for a rocket to fly through the air, and that burns very brightly. And there, you never see any sort of propulsion system from the alleged Hamas missiles that the Iron Dome system is intercepting. Furthermore, they say that Israelis are safe because of the advanced warning system, that they get these automated warnings that a rocket's coming in. Maybe these are just the fictional computer-generated rockets that the Iron Dome system is supposedly blowing up, but in fact never existed in the first place.
Okay, folks, I'm going to leave it there. We are at the end of the hour. It has been interesting for me looking at that. I hope you found it worthwhile. The second hour of today's show will be a repeat of a recent interview, one of our more interesting interviews within the last few months. If you're listening and you're not a subscriber, may I encourage you to become a subscriber to Truth News Radio Australia? It's very, very easy. You simply go to the website, www.truthnews.com.au, and click on the big subscribe banner. And by doing so, you can help participate in our struggle to end the tyranny over information, which is actually blocking democracy. So it's incredibly important. Your participation here is actually key. Remember, the media, the government want you to not subscribe to Truth News Radio. They want you to think, oh, why should we bother? They want you to be distracted. They don't want you to participate in activity that can actually change the whole structure of things. So it's incredibly, unbelievably important that you actually take some action. And what I'm offering you today is the opportunity to assist Truth News Radio in moving forwards. So simply go to the website, click on the subscribe button, you'll need a credit card. It'll cost you $65 Australian plus postage if you want the t-shirt. It's been great talking to you today. We will be back next week and we'll be having some great interviews coming up in the next few weeks. So stay tuned, folks. Truth News Radio Australia signing out.